Good morning, everyone. This is Jean Carragher, President of Capstone Marketing. I am excited to be talking today with Lily Morris, Communication Specialist at Johnson Lambert, who was recently named the Association for Accounting Marketing 2023 Rookie of the Year. In her role, Lily produces monthly newsletters, oversees the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee, and runs an internal intranet-like Google site, which we're going to talk more about, Lily, since that it's interesting stuff you're doing there at the firm. Lily also develops social media content specifically around recruiting, including co-developing a brand new social media strategy on TikTok and targeted LinkedIn advertising to reach potential new hires. And I know folks are really going to want to learn more about that too. Lily became a member of AIM in 2021. And joined the Strategic Communications Committee in 2022. Lily, congratulations on being named Rookie of the Year.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here and really looking forward to this conversation with you.
So how did it feel when you heard your name and you won this award?
Well, I was very surprised, and anyone who was there at the ceremony probably knew I was surprised because I didn't go up on stage at first when my name was called. I wasn't really sure of the procedure, to be honest, but I was definitely thrilled and super excited, but yes, very surprised.
Well, it's very well deserved. And we're going to talk about some of your accomplishments during this conversation today. But let's start off with what you believe is the greatest challenge in marketing CPA firms.
Well, just through talking to other accounting marketers and, you know, conversations that we have on our team at my firm, it's that not many marketing teams have the budget and resources to do all of the things. Not every team has a budget and people committed to just a video production project plan every year, or they don't have a person specific to PR or a team specific to social media. It's usually just a few people doing a lot of different things. And that can be really challenging to feel like you're doing all of the things and doing them well. And then it's also, how do you continue to evolve and upscale while maintaining what you've been doing and all of those key touch points that, you know, we're always talking about in marketing. And one of the things that we've done recently is we organized and conducted a few small groups of qualitative research. And I know that research can be time consuming. That can be its own project as well. But we approached it and took probably just 2 hours to develop questions and then to meet with interns, students, our new hires, and just ask them about our marketing materials and our messaging and, you know, see what's landing with them, what's not, what we want to be received in a certain way, and if they're receiving it in the way that we've intended, and just really paring down maybe all of the things that we're doing and focusing on what is most impactful to them and what they're going to notice more. And that's been a great way for us to look at all of the things and know what we should be focusing on so that we can feel like we're doing what we need to be doing and doing it well.
Right. So your focus is very specialized at Johnson Lambert, if I'm understanding this correctly, right? Because I don't believe you're on the new business development end. You're more internal communications, recruiting, like internal employees, that sort of thing.
Yes. Yeah, that's correct. I do work a little bit on our website, but mainly on our DEI culture pages, students pages. So still very much in that recruiting realm. And then, yes, a lot of the internal communications, a lot of our employee experience initiatives, of course, newsletters, the things that you mentioned in your intro, and then, you know, messaging to candidates.
Right. Yeah, I think this is an excellent example of using data that you're collecting to really target in on the types of employees you want, and making sure that you're communicating the story about Johnson Lambert in an interesting way that would draw interest from your candidates.
Yeah, absolutely. And definitely some of the things that our interns told us was eye-opening. And, you know, maybe the data that we were seeing was telling us one thing, but having that qualitative conversation and really understanding the human perspective of it just opened so many more doors for us. And like you said, the looking at the data is really important, and understanding the impact that you're having on your audience is the only way that you can be an effective marketer.
All right. So, you know, I'm going to jump around here a little bit, Lily, with our questioning, because I think the numbers, the results that you've achieved, you know, you and your team. So it's my understanding that this social media strategy on TikTok and your targeted LinkedIn advertising resulted in reaching more than 723,000 users on TikTok, with engagements for more than 22,800 people. That is mind-boggling to me. Can you share just a little bit about how that worked?
Sure. TikTok, it really is kind of a funny story, because myself and one of our marketing managers, we just love social media, and we love TikTok. And we had it started as a passion project for us of how can we get our firm's personality out there? How can we share this different side of us, that because accounting firms, they get the bad rap of they're, you know, boring. It's not the most glamorous career, but we know that we have really great people and we want to be able to showcase them. So it did start as kind of a passion project for us. And a lot of the content we were creating was kind of just general to the workforce in general. And once we started getting those great engagements, we were able to make it more accounting specific and, you know, really try to target that specific audience. And that was when our numbers started to continue to climb. But yeah, the main idea behind it was showing that our firm is a great place to work with a lot of fun people who are just like you, just like the students that we're, you know, trying to recruit. And we've had students tell us that they saw us on TikTok and that it wasn't because they, you know, we told them to go look at their page. It was because we came up in their recommended feed. And that's like the best compliment I can get from a student, is they found our TikTok and they loved it. But yeah, that's kind of because students, they just want to know that they're going to land somewhere that they enjoy, with people that they like working with. You know, they're not totally thinking about how stable the accounting, you know, career path is. And they want to find somewhere right out of college where they have people that are just like them. So that was kind of our goal with TikTok. And once we really started getting some traction, we were able to hone in on that accounting niche of TikTok, and that's where we've done really well.
Right. So if people want to see your TikTok videos, do they just search for Johnson Lambert when they're on there?
They can search for JL Careers. That is kind of our segment of recruiting social media, JL Careers. Okay. And we've got quite a bit of content out there, and we're always trying to recruit people in the firm to help us create more content. But yep, JL Careers is how you can find
it. Okay. All right. So let me just a quick follow-up. So your internal folks, are your folks continue to be interested in participating in the videos? Do you get any pushback? Like, how does that work?
There are definitely some people who do not want to participate at all, but a lot of the feedback that we've gotten is very positive. People think it's really cool that we're showcasing this side of the firm and this, you know, type of personality. And yes, we do get people who want to be in the videos. We get a lot of people telling us their ideas, and that is also just as valuable for the marketing team to create the content. They're the accounting experts. They know, you know, what's going to land with their population. So we value their insight a lot, and we lean on them for their ideas. But yeah, overall, I would say it's been a very positive, feedback that we've gotten on TikTok.
Well, and I that's great for you, right? Overall, right? Because it's good to get that, you know, positive, you know, reinforcement. And when you start delivering numbers like you're delivering, you know, that has to open eyes, you know, both internally and externally, you know, about the firm. I think it's terrific. So we're going to talk about some more of your accomplishments in a bit, but let me ask you, you know, you're the rookie of the year, right? So you have less than 2 years experience in accounting, marketing, and work life overall. What skills in particular, personal skills, do you have that has contributed to your success?
Well, thinking about this question is, it sometimes feels a little bit difficult to, you know, think about yourself and, you know, what contributes to your own success. But when I was thinking about this, I kept coming back to, and it's going to sound a little silly, but my love for jigsaw puzzles and just working on puzzles in general. I love to do all of like the New York Times daily puzzles. That's really how I approach a lot of my creative problems, is how, if we're trying to do something new, we're trying to, you know, tweak a message, whatever it is, what is that missing puzzle piece that I can bring in and, you know, make the picture more beautiful, if you will, you know, what is that missing puzzle piece? And just always approaching it, knowing that there is a missing puzzle piece and something can always be added to kind of elevate everything. But I also think I bring a lot of positivity to my work and I really love what I do, but I'm also a firm believer in that if you approach things with a positive attitude, you're more likely to have a positive outcome. And I carry that a lot with me because marketing can be really hard and it's not always rainbows and roses. And it can be really challenging. So, but approaching things with a positive attitude, I think, is a huge key to all of it.
I love that because a positive attitude in life in general is going to benefit us, right? So not only, you know, the challenges we might have with our work, but, you know, we could confront, you know, challenges and other situations in life and we have a choice, right? We could choose to look at that in a more positive way or in a more negative way. And then that's usually how it goes, right? So we need to give ourselves a little boost. Love that. So I know that you're building your network, and Lily, I love the way that you joined AIM and just dove in and joined a committee. You just didn't waste any time because, you know, that's a great way to meet other AIM members, right? And, you know, build those friendships because you're meeting them on a regular basis and all of that. So with the people that you've met, you know, and have come to know, what skills or factors do you think relate to marketers being successful? What kind of characteristics do you see in others?
Well, I think the easy answer is creativity. And I talked about that a lot. But I think a couple of really underrated skills are resiliency and the willingness to learn. And I think that kind of comes with having the resiliency to, and the understanding to know that not everything that you work on, you spend so much time planning and, you know, putting out there is going to work. It's not always going to work. And you have to just be willing to let that roll right off your back and pivot to the next thing. You know, being prepared to pivot, the willingness to learn of, you know, what didn't go right, how can we improve this? And then also being able, with the willingness to learn, looking at all of this AI and new technology that's coming down the pipeline that can be really intimidating and really difficult to understand, but not being afraid to, you know, dive in and take advantage of that opportunity. So yeah, I think resiliency, like I said, being prepared to pivot and having that willingness to learn and try new things is key.
Right. You know, I say to a lot of people that the way we can market and promote firms, the basics of it is the same, you know, since the early days when accountants were then allowed to promote their firms, you know, to today. So it's been, you know, a few decades, which I know in the scheme of the world is this tiny little, you know, time period. But the ways and the tools we have to market and promote the firms is so different. So the basics are the same of what we want to do, but there's so many more tools that we could utilize. So it, and some things, yeah, some things might not work out so great, and others, you know, are you hit it out of the park. It's so interesting about how marketers are diving in and trying, you know, all of these new things, especially AI. I mean, I've read up on it just a little myself. That's something that I need to spend more time on. But it's, I think from a marketing standpoint, it's going to allow us to do so many things, right?
It's pretty incredible, especially the digital content aspect of the AI videos. Of course, like the language model generators, those are, you know, evolving so quickly, and they're becoming smarter and smarter, I swear, by the hour. So those are obviously incredible tools, but I think the digital content and just probably the insights that we're going to start getting from AI is probably going to be able to tell us how our social media posts are going to perform before we ever put them out there. And, you know, I can only imagine where we're going to go from here. But yeah, you're right. It's still the traditional methods, but the tools that we have at our disposal now are really pretty incredible.
Right, right. It is incredible. And, you know, it's not all, you know, thousands of dollars, right? There's a lot of these tools that, you know, some of them are free, you know, and some are pretty inexpensive. So they don't have to be budget busters.
Yep. Just, and having, like I said, that willingness to try it out and, you know, learn from it. Why not? If it's not super expensive and it's, you know, an opportunity for you to elevate your marketing skills that much more, why would you not, you know, try?
Right, exactly. So tell us, so you sound like a busy woman, Lily, with your role at Johnson Lambert. Tell us about your top priority right now. What are you working on?
One of the things that we are doing is trying to be really critical of our overall brand landscape. And what I mean by that is looking at everything from our recruiting marketing to our client marketing and how we can be more consistent externally, internally, through all of our different audiences. Because, you know, like all accounting firms with different industries, you have a lot of audiences, but how do you maintain that consistency and, you know, continue to be recognizable, elevate that level of trust that clients have in you, and but also communicate your personality. So we're really trying to increase our brand consistency and looking at it through a critical lens of where, knowing that we do have weak spots and where we can elevate that, and just overall, because we got a lot of creative fuel for this actually from AIM Summit. And a lot of the brand consistency talks that were being had there. So we really took that to heart, and it was something that we had already been thinking about. But yeah, that is probably our main priority for this year.
Right. That's terrific. Because I've seen, and I'm delighted by the attention that CPA firm brands are getting, and how internally, not only the marketers, but partners are focusing more on a firm's brand. Because there were many, many years where we would use the term branding for a CPA firm, and you could see their eyes just glaze over and wondering, is that something we really need? What difference does that make? And we're learning, right, that it is very important, because if you've created or built your story, you know, your firm story, you want to make sure that is genuine, right? That it's authentic and interesting and truthful and consistent, if I didn't say that already. And that when you, or when someone looks at something or hears something, that they know that that's from your firm and not your competitor down the street, that it really is a differentiator.
Yeah, that's exactly what we talk about too, is if you took the Johnson Lambert logo off of that, would people know that it's Johnson Lambert? Would they, you know that it's your firm talking? And exactly what you said, a lot of times our non-marketing people, they don't always get that. And because it's not just about the look and feel of your website, it's about the voice that you're using when you're communicating in your proposals, which is like one of the most key pieces that, you know, our CPA staff is focusing on, those proposals. So it carries over to all of those things. And yeah, I think the consistency and just, you know, helping everyone understand that this is what is gonna could make or break a sale, and that trust that we're developing in our potential clients, it's really important.
Right, it absolutely is. So before we started recording, we talked just a little bit about the recruiting work you're doing at Johnson Lambert. And again, the numbers are very impressive. So, and hopefully these notes, I've got them correctly. So in the fall of 2022, you conducted 20 individualized ads for 23 campuses. Okay, did everybody hear that? 23 campuses. So, and your work resulted in your firm, you gained more than 111,000 impressions from accounting students. 111,000 impressions from accounting students who attended the universities that the firm is targeting. You received engagements from 1,600 students at those schools, and your overall candidate pipeline saw an increase in applications of 12.7%. Very impressive, Lily. Tell us just a bit about, you know, how that worked.
Well, so a lot of those targeted ads are on LinkedIn, and we really took a step back and looked at the capabilities of LinkedIn and how targeted we can get to this student group. And because I know if I see an ad on LinkedIn, I typically scroll right by it. But if it has my campus's logo on it, our school's logo, if it has the name of the exact event that we're attending, the things that I'm looking for. So we really tried to personalize these ads to the exact student that we're looking for. And I think that that's a big piece of the success that we had is, if it's just a general career fair ad that isn't telling the student much about who we are or what we can offer them, they're probably not going to click on it. So making sure that we were just taking the time to really customize it to what that student is looking for, and knowing that we can put out 100 ads, and if they're all just super generic, no one's really going to click on them, and we're not going to. We might get a lot of clicks, but we're not going to get those applications or really that return that we're looking for. So we said we might not get as many clicks as we have in the past. We might not get, you know, as much traction on them, but the clicks that we do get are more likely to result in the student application. And we know once we get them in the door and we're talking to them, you know, we can really build a relationship with them. So that was kind of the background on that, is we wanted to really customize it to the student. And we know that we're up against a lot of really incredible accounting firms out there. So how can we make them feel like they are special to us?
Right. So that's a great example of quality versus quantity.
Yep. And in the back end of LinkedIn, you can really tailor it to accounting students at XYZ school, you know, and even when it's a role, we're looking for full-time roles, you can have LinkedIn, you know, say that they need to have had an accounting internship already, you know, whatever it is that your specifications mm-hmm. are. We really just wanted this ad coming up for accounting students at the school that we're attending, right. And making sure that they know we're going to be there to, going back to what I was saying before with the brand consistency, you know, making sure that we're recognizable, because we know that the likelihood of them having heard of our firm before, you know, walking around a career fair, it's probably not super likely unless they have parents who work in our industries or, you know, other parents in the accounting world, they might not have ever heard of our firm. So how do we hit that touch point before they ever meet us and build that brand recognition, you know, before the career fair?
Right. So I know this has just been done recently, but are you seeing a difference in the types or caliber of people that are interested in interviewing with you?
I think so. Yeah. Our recruiting manager, she could definitely speak to this a lot more, but you know, from what I've heard, we've had so many great candidates. And I think just like you said, the quality over quantity has been the key piece for us. We have a small recruiting team as well. They can't do thousands of interviews to find the perfect candidate. So yes, to answer your question, I think we've definitely seen just a higher caliber of client of candidate, and also the type of candidate that would fit in perfectly at our firm.
Right. Oh, that's terrific. Okay. So two more questions. What is the best piece of advice you have for other accounting marketers?
I have two pieces of advice. One is for accounting marketers who are maybe starting out in their career, and that is work on finding the balance between asking a lot of questions, but also being willing to lean in to the knowledge that you have and be a contributor to the conversation. Because it can be really hard. And that's something I'm still working on early in my career, is knowing that there will always be more for me to learn, but trusting in what I do know and being willing to contribute to the conversation, especially when the conversation feels like it's bigger than you, because there will be a lot of those. And so I think just finding that balance and working to find that balance, it can be hard, but once you kind of get the feel for trusting yourself, but also, you know, having that willingness to learn, like I mentioned, I think that is a big piece of advice I would give to the generation coming in. To more seasoned marketers, I would say don't be afraid to mix it up. You may do something 100 times and it may work all 100 times, but if it doesn't work that 101st time, you know, you got to be willing to mix it up and try something new, because you can always go back to what you've done in the past and what's worked. But also I've found out that a lot of times we do stuff a certain way because it has worked, not because there's really any deep science to it. So not being afraid to mix it up and, you know, try new things and just see the results that you get, because it may be like the TikTok where we were really going out of our comfort zone trying something new, but it really paid off. And now it's something that we have strategy conversations about. So, you know, don't be afraid to try something new.
Right. That's a lesson for everybody. That's a good reminder, Lily. Thank you for that. Because I think sometimes we might get stuck in the we've always done it this way, you know, attitude, and things just get repeated, you know, just the same way as always, just because that's how it was done, instead of taking a look back and thinking, you know, what could we change? You know, how could we mix this up a little bit or improve it, you know, in some way. Great advice. So then tell us, what is your best piece of advice for managing partners?
I think looking at this through my internal communications lens, the best piece of advice I can give is to listen to what the people at your firm are saying. You know, ask them for feedback, listen to them, because that's how you're going to be a more informed leader. And I know a lot of firms, they probably do pulse surveys, different check-ins throughout the year with their firm where they ask for that feedback. But another way that we do it is we have a day of listening. And this is where all of our leaders come, the whole firm is invited. It's optional, but strongly encouraged. And all of our leaders show up and they just listen. And this started as a DEI initiative for us, just talking about current events, what's going on in the world, especially with that DEI lens on it. But it's kind of evolved into this, how can we improve the firm as a whole? And our managing partner, he is a key piece of this, and he really takes it very seriously, gathers that feedback. And not only does he just take it in, but he, you know, develops a plan and lets the firm know how we're moving forward based off of this day of listening that we had. And I know our leaders, they also look at the suggestions that were made, the issues that were brought up, and how do we maybe apply that to our strategic plan and those priorities that we focus on every year. So it's really, it's become a big part of what we do as a firm every year. And I think as we continue to do it, people are just going to be more and more comfortable with voicing their opinions. And it's never been, it sounds kind of scary to just have an open forum for people to say whatever they want. But you also learn that people really do love their job and they love what they're doing. And the suggestions that they're making are maybe to just improve their team chemistry and, you know, stuff like that. So, but I think listening to what your people are saying, like I said, is just going to make you more informed, and it's going to make you a better communicator back to the firm and a better leader.
Right. I think that is a great summary for our capstone conversation this morning. We've been talking with Lily Morris, communications specialist at Johnson Lambert, who was named the Association for Accounting Marketing 2023 Rookie of the Year. Lily, congratulations again. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much.